Well, good morning, everybody. God bless you. Pastor Daniel, I got to get something straight. Oh, he's right there in the... I got to get something straight right here and now. You mean to tell me you've never mailed anything? Listen, you live a long way from your mother now. And come Mother's Day, all right? And I just want one, at least one of the ladies in the house right now, will you help Pastor Daniel mail a Mother's Day card to his mom on Mother's Day? Because he's never done it. He doesn't even know how to buy a stamp. So if you could help him with that, that would be great. Thanks, Pastor Daniel. Hey, good job remembering to turn your clock back this morning. Really appreciate that. Now listen, if you didn't get that done, I've got a little guide here, because it's not just turning your clock back. We got all this other stuff we got to think about these days, all right? Now, if you have a smartphone, of course, it did it automatically for you. Praise God for that. I rely on that. If you happen to have a sundial, move your house to the left a little bit. Your oven, right? You need to be a master's in electronic engineering in order to do that one. And then your car radio, it's not worth it. Just wait 6 months and it'll be right again, okay? Yes. The car radio in Janice's car, it does not get changed until Stephen comes to visit us. And then it finally gets changed, yeah. Men's battle briefing, guys, coming up Tuesday, November 16th. We're going to add a little extra wrinkle at this one. I know we're getting to the end of hunting season, and I know how much you guys like to brag. And so what we're going to do at this men's battle briefing, we're going to ask you to send in any of your trophy elk, your trophy buck that you got this year. We'll take fishing pictures. And what I'd like you to do is send those in, email them to Chrissy, all right? Chrissy, K-R-I-S-S-I, at medfordbethel.com. Your hunting pictures, your fishing pictures, Chrissy, K-R-I-S-S-I, at medfordbethel.com. Now listen, we do not want that picture of that forked horn that you got 10 years ago, all right? The last 2 years, all right? The last 2 years. And then we're going to give you a chance to brag a little bit at men's battle briefing. Going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully you received this morning, did you receive a card this morning that says give thanks on it? Give thanks. I am thankful for... every year here at Bethel Church, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we take the entire service for just giving thanks to the Lord. And one of the ways that we do that is members of our congregation, you all fine folks, you tell us something you're thankful for. And then we don't read all of them, but we read a lot of them. So anything that you're thankful for, it could be something specific that God has done. It could be a general thanksgiving to the Lord. How many of you know having a thankful heart is an important thing? Amen? It's so easy for us to get focused on what is wrong, and being thankful helps us to focus on what is right and the goodness of God. And so take a moment. Sometime fill out that card, and then you can just hand it to one of the ushers. You can give it to one of the pastors this morning. You can even drop it in one of those give boxes. And then in a couple of weeks at our Give Thanks Sunday, we'll be reading those. All right. One last thing. Last Sunday, I threw out a challenge for everybody. If you weren't here, you're going to be new to this, but I challenged everybody last Sunday concerning your Bible reading time, and I challenged everybody to read the Bible at least 10 minutes a day for 30 days in a row. If you weren't here last Sunday and didn't hear that, don't worry about it. You can start right now, all right? You didn't miss it. Also, if you happen to miss a day or two this week, don't give up. Just keep going. Keep going. So how many of you... Just honestly, this morning, how many of you had a successful week, 10 minutes a day, every day this week? Raise your hand. Oh, wow. Good on you. Good job, guys. I'm so proud of you. And what an awesome thing that is. So continue 10 minutes a day in the Word of God for 30 days in a row. All right? So speaking of the Word of God, let's get there. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to read verses 6 and 7 this morning. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame. Everybody say fan into flame. Fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Some versions say a sound mind. Has anyone this morning beside me noticed that our country's kind of in a funk right now? And among other things, one of the things that we're seeing across the nation is this emotional, sociological effect of people being isolated. Many people have just kind of found themselves, not just stores and restaurants, many people have found themselves kind of feeling shut down. And a lot of people are lacking any kind of motivation or sense of purpose in their life. A lot of people really don't want to work anymore. People have grown accustomed to being alone. People don't want to hassle with other people. A lot of people that have been working from home really don't want to go back to an office. And if that's you, you know, God bless you. I don't blame you. I'm just saying it's a thing right now. And people, a lot of people just feel kind of shut down. And then add to that the swell of social media and the fact that people are more comfortable with virtual friendships than real friendships. And the result of all of this is that a lot of people just really feel alone. And this is affecting churches as well, churches all across the nation. It's been a difficult time for people now that we're opening back up. It's been hard for a lot of people to kind of re-enter into church life, right? So the good news for us as Christians is that while we've experienced everything that the rest of the world has experienced, because of God in our lives, we've got resources to be overcomers. Amen? And we don't have to give in to those things. God can really help us out. In our scripture this morning, now there's no indication that there was any kind of pandemic or anything of that nature going on, but clearly something is going on with Timothy. Something that has caused him to kind of shut down, at least in part. And this has given Paul reason for concern for him. Okay, so let's put verse 6 back up if we can. That would be great. For some reason, you know, Paul is concerned about where Timothy is in terms of using his gifting. 1 and 2 Timothy are very, very personal letters, whereas most of Paul's letters are to an entire church. They would often be circulated among house churches in a city or community. Some of Paul's letters are to an entire region. 1 and 2 Timothy, however, are to one person. One person. Now, you know, by extension, they're to all of us because, right, they were put in the Bible for all of us. But then when it was written to one person. This veteran missionary apostle Paul writing to this young pastor Timothy. And Paul is very, very deeply concerned for Timothy. At this point, Paul is in a prison in Rome, and Timothy is overseeing a church in the city of Ephesus, the church that Paul had planted. So as Paul's writing this letter, he's very personally invested in the church in Ephesus. He spent 2.5 years of his life there. That's a long time, actually, for the Apostle Paul. He's very invested in the church in Ephesus, but he's also very personally invested in this guy, Timothy. In fact, there's several times in the Bible that he refers to Timothy as his son in the faith. He's very close to Timothy. So Paul is very, very concerned for the church, and he's very, very concerned and very invested in Timothy personally. And he's cheering Timothy on. You read these letters and you see you just imagine Paul, this like grizzled veteran missionary apostle sitting in a jail cell, and And he's concerned for Timothy out there doing the work of the Lord and leading this church. And he's cheering for Timothy. Obviously, he believes in Timothy, but he also recognizes that Timothy's got some challenges. And one of those challenges is Timothy would get intimidated. He'd get intimidated. So, for example, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, Paul writes to Timothy, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young." Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech and love and faith and in purity. Okay, so Timothy is struggling a little bit, maybe with his self-image, with a lack of confidence, with fear. And so in this letter now, Paul writes to Timothy, he tells him not to give in to timidity, and he says, fan into flame the gift of God. Fan into flame the gift of God. This is an amazing picture. You can just picture, you know, we've all probably had that experience, you know, when you're camping or even in your home fireplace, you know, you got the little embers and it's like the fire is about to go out and you need to fan it or blow on it so that thing will have oxygen so it will get going again. So this is the picture. Paul is saying to Timothy, look, it's the fire's not out, but if you don't do something, the fire's going to go out. Right? You got to fan into flame the gift of God. Now, we're not told exactly what the gift of God is that Paul is referring to, but Timothy was a pastor, so it makes sense. It might have been his teaching gift. It might have been a prophecy gift. It might have been a healing gift. Whatever it was, Paul has seen or heard back something that's caused him to be concerned that Timothy is pulling back for some reason. And we're not told here what happened in Timothy's life that's making him pull back. Perhaps it was discouragement. You know, he's just not seeing the results that he'd like to see in the church. Perhaps he's been hurt. Perhaps there's been opposition. Perhaps he's fearful. Perhaps he just feels underappreciated, all right? Now, again, I'm kind of guessing, but I'm making kind of an educated guess. Why? Because I've seen this happen in a lot of people's lives. I've seen a lot of people pull back because of hurt, discouragement, fear, feeling underappreciated. Like, this church wouldn't even know it if I was gone, right? Now, one thing I think is certain about what Paul is saying here is this is not a question of Timothy walking away from the Lord. He's not abandoning the faith. This would be a very different conversation knowing the Apostle Paul. This would be a very different conversation that he was having. So Timothy loves Jesus, wants to be faithful to the Lord, but for some reason, he's just kind of shut down. He's kind of shut down. He's not really walking in the gifting and calling of his life. So Paul says, you got to take that now. You got to fan it into flame. Perhaps you've found yourself there at some point in your life where you know God was calling you to do something, but because of fear, because of intimidation, uncertainty, discouragement, you just kind of just didn't go there. Or perhaps you're even feeling that right now. And my prayer for you today is that with the help of the Holy Spirit, God is going to fan to flame something in your heart today. Right? That calling, that gifting, that ministry, that purpose that God has placed in your heart, you're going to fan that to flame today. Because the truth is, we're all called and we're all uniquely gifted by God to make a difference. Each and every one of us. Look at this, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do what? To do good works, do something which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has a purpose, a plan, and a destiny for each and every life. That means you too. I love the New Living Translation translation of this verse. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things. He planned for us long ago. So each and every one of us, we are created, uniquely created to serve God. You're created just the way you are. There's only one you in all of the world. And God uniquely formed you, uniquely created you to do good things and to serve God's purposes in this world. David writes in the Psalms about how, you know, God knit him together in his mother's womb. David had the sense that God had uniquely created him. And I want you to know that's true of you today. God has uniquely created you. I can look back at my own life and, you know, years before I knew anything about becoming a pastor. The Lord called me to be a pastor when I was 16 years old. And he called me in a very clear way to go into full-time vocational ministry. But I can look back now and say, wow, there was just a lot of things that God was doing in my life that I was clueless about, that was getting me ready, that were all getting me ready for what God was calling me to do. Just a simple thing like I'm the oldest of six children, and both of my parents worked full-time. Okay? Full-time parents, six kids in the home. When you're the oldest, you learn at a young age to have a lot of responsibility. So just early on, I didn't always like it, that's for sure. But early on, I learned about how to be a responsible person. Also, I wasn't raised in church. And so coming to Christ and having a local church be my spiritual lifeline, I early on learned about the importance of great children's ministries and great youth ministry, because I know what a difference they made in my life. And so to this day, I'm passionate about the church being strong in those areas of ministry because I know the difference we can make. From a very young age, I had an interest in performing arts. I was always singing, playing a musical instrument, or performing in plays. Now, I'm not saying I was good at any of those things. I'm just saying I got used to being in front of people. So I got very comfortable being in front of people. For some of you, you can't imagine standing up here. For me, it just was a very natural thing to do. Another thing is the church that I did find Christ in, they were just great at encouraging young people to be involved in serving in a ministry. So from a very young age, I was given a lot of opportunities to help at kids' church, or I remember as a teenager, my youth pastor would take me, and I would preach at the nursing home. I'd preach at the nursing home Sunday afternoon. I think Pastor Dave thought, well, no one can hear him anyway. He's not going to really heard anything, but it was just great, you know, practice for me. And so I had a lot of experiences like that. So looking back at my life, I can say, wow, just all along, God was getting me ready. I had no idea what I was going to do, but God did. And God was getting me ready for what he had for me in my life. We are created to serve God. But also, not only are you created to serve God, you're commanded to serve God. Not an option. You're commanded. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So your life is a gift from God to you, and now you're to steward that before God. You're not the owner. You've been bought with a price. Jesus has given his life for you. You now belong to God. And now everything you have and everything you do, you're only a steward of those things, and God is the real owner. Does that make sense? And so we're going to stand before God someday. We are. We're going to stand before God, and we're going to give an answer to God for how we use the gifts that God placed in our lives. So you're created to serve God, but you're also commanded to serve God. And the reality is, there's nothing better than serving God. Amen? Nothing better. You're going to feel the most yourself. You're going to feel the most alive and the most sense of purpose when you're doing what God created you to do. Right? You are. Some of you may be familiar with the book and the movie Chariots of Fire. Anybody remember that? Oh, man, look it up. Chariots of Fire, classic movie, and it focuses on this guy, Eric Little, who was a great missionary, but before he was a missionary, he was actually raised on the mission field. His parents were missionaries. God called him very early in his life to the ministry, but he also had a great passion. He was a very gifted runner, and so he ran for Scotland in the 1924 Olympics, and so this movie, Chariots of Fire, tells that whole story, and one of the parts about Eric Little's story is his family, some of his family, and his friends knew he was called to be a missionary, so they thought this running thing was all just a waste of time, that it was just vainglory, he shouldn't participate in it, this is just, you know, the devil sidetracking you, and you're really called to be a missionary. And in a famous line in the movie, Eric Little says this, "I believe God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure." Yeah. Now, I got to say, those rare occasions when I run, I feel no pleasure at all. But for Eric Little, he felt the pleasure of God as he ran. And that it just shows us that God has uniquely created us. And when we're doing what we're made by God to do, there's great joy in that. There's great purpose in that. So now you might be thinking this morning, okay, Tim, I believe what you're saying. I believe the Bible teaches that we're all gifted by God and we're created by God and shaped by God to make a difference. But I just don't know what that is for me. I don't know what it looks like. All right? And so I want to just give you, I'm going to share a little diagnostic tool with you this morning. And I'll go through this kind of quickly, but this is something that it's not original with me. Pastor Rick Warren came up with this years ago. And it's just a great diagnostic way to kind of discover how you fit in the body of Christ, all right? And so he uses this acrostic with the word shape. All right? And so S in the word shape stands for spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. What are your spiritual gifts? And Paul writes about spiritual gifts throughout the New Testament. One of the places is 1 Corinthians 12, where he talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And he says, to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So he says, everybody in the body of Christ actually has a spiritual gift. And he goes on and he writes about some of those things. He talks about the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of prophecy, distinguishing between spirits. He talks about the gift of tongues and interpreting tongues, all these different kind of gifts. And then in verse 11, he sums it up and he says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. No matter what your gift is, they're all from the Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So this has nothing to do with your personal abilities or your training. Spiritual gifts are totally supernatural, and they're given by the Holy Spirit to individuals so that God can minister to the body of Christ through them. Now, those aren't the only spiritual gifts. There's numbers of lists of spiritual gifts that are found in the New Testament, but what I want you to see is God can use you in ways that you feel like you have no ability to if you will be open to the Holy Spirit working through you, right? And these are just, they're spiritual gifts. And then H stands for heart. There are certain things that each one of us, we just have a heart for, and we have a big heart for them. And these are things, this is just the way we are wired, that God wired us. We've got a big heart for certain things. For some of you in this place, you've got a huge heart for people that are poor. Now, we should all have, as believers, we should all have a heart for the poor. Jesus has a heart for the poor. But for some of us, we just have an extra big heart for the poor. For some of us, it's for children's ministry. We should all care about children. But some of us have just this huge heart for kids' ministries. By the way, one of the things I love about our kids' pastor, Pastor Ben, here at Bethel Church, is he can, you've probably noticed this, he cannot get up here and talk about kids' ministry without crying. Anybody notice that? I mean, I'm telling you, first of all, it's awesome when you're trying to raise money. It's great. But also, I mean, it just shows his, like, this isn't just a job for him, right? He's got such a heart, genuine heart for kids. Some of you, it's for the elderly. You've got a heart for elderly people, and especially these last couple of years, as so many of our elderly folks have been so isolated and alone. You've got such a heart for them. Some of you have a big heart for pro-life things. And you're all about, you know, being pro-life, and that's where your heart is. Some of you have a heart for evangelism. I mean, just the thought of people, you know, dying without Christ just keeps you up at night, and you pray for the lost all the time. Some of you've got a special heart for women who've gone through some kind of abuse in their life, and you've got such a heart for women that are hurting, right? So God has not given you a heart for these different people just so that you'll feel bad. God has given you a heart for them because he's put something in you that you want to make a difference, right? And it could be just with your finances you're supposed to make a difference, but it could be that that's the kind of ministry you're supposed to be involved in serving in. Those are the kind of people God has created you to serve. Okay. So a heart. And then A stands for aptitude. Aptitude, all right? This actually, unlike spiritual gifts, this actually is like, what are you good at? What can you do well? Okay. In Exodus 31, God talks about a craftsman by the name of Bezalel, and we've been in the book of Exodus on Wednesday nights. And God says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and all kinds of skills to make artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. Now, a lot of times we read a list like that, and we don't think, well, that's not necessarily a gift from God. But God says, yeah, actually it is. Like, you know, the things that you do well, your abilities, God will use those things, and he's given you a special ability. When I think about this guy, Bezalel, I think of Steve Smale back there at the board. Man, that guy can just, like, all kinds of technological things. Man, he's just so gifted. We start having conversations about these things, and honestly, few sentences in, I don't even know what we're talking about anymore, you know? He's just that kind of guy, and there's many, many people like Steve in our congregation that you're so gifted in, whether it's technology or you're gifted musically, or you're a craftsman of some kind, or you're a great organizer, a great teacher. These are abilities that God has placed in your life. Okay? And then P is for personality. Personality. We all have unique personalities. And that personality is God-given, and that personality will enable you to minister to people that other people wouldn't be able to minister to, right? And, you know, some people are extreme extroverts, and someone who's an introvert, they just get crushed by that person. They're like, oh, man, I cannot handle this guy, you know? And they need someone that's just a lot softer and gentler, in their life, okay? Some of you are like soft and gentle, and you're just so thoughtful, but you have a difficult time, you know, being in charge of a project because you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, right? And so for you, you don't want to, you know, you just want to be behind the scenes and kind of minister to that quiet person, but you don't want to, you know, like take charge of anything because that's hard for you. So we all have different personalities that enable us to minister God's love to different people, okay? And then the last one, E is for experiences. Experiences, our life experiences. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Everybody in this room, we all have a story, right? We all have a story. And God is going to use that story not only for your good, but he's going to use it for somebody else's good as well. Okay? So getting back to the heart, some of you, the reason you have a heart for certain kinds of people is because they're going through what you've already gone through. And so you have a heart for them. God will take even the very painful experiences in our lives, and he will bring healing to our hearts, but then he will use us as his vessel to minister to other people. Now, I'll just pull just like one example out this morning. Many of you, you've been through divorces in your life, and some of you have been through some really painful experiences like that. And while I love people, I love everybody in our church, and I love people that have gone through divorce, and I want to minister to them, the reality is I've never gone through a divorce. And so while I, as their pastor, want to speak encouragement into their life, I've never been where they've been. And what they really need is someone in their life that's been through what they've been through. Does that make sense? Right? Someone who's walked that road that can love them and encourage them with the heart of Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles." Right? He comforts us so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. This is an amazing thing. You know, the Bible says that God really does work all things together for good. I think about the words of Joseph to his brothers, "What you intended for evil, God intended for good." The very thing the devil tried to destroy you with, God has brought life and healing, and now God will use you, if you will let him, as an instrument of his healing in someone else's life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so there it is, the shape. Spiritual gifts, hearts, abilities, personality, experiences. Right? And I want to just challenge you today. Everyone in this room, you are uniquely created by God. You have a unique story. You have a unique personality and unique giftings. And God can and will use you. But my guess is this morning there's some of you that are kind of like Timothy. And you need to fan to flame. Fan to flame, that gift. Don't let it die. Don't let it die. Don't be intimidated. Don't be discouraged. Let God do a work in your life. Let God use you. God has a future for you. God's got a plan for you. God can use you in amazing ways. And then when we in the body of Christ, when we function together, it's an amazing thing. You know, the Apostle Paul uses this picture several times where he compares the church to the body, the human body, right? And you know, the human body is an incredible creation of God. And I'll go to sports because that's kind of where, you know, I love to go. And I think about just the person, I'm not a runner, but that person who's like the 100-meter sprinter, you know, in the Olympics, and how they, you know, they've trained, you know, and when they're, you know, starting blocks, they've all these hours of preparation, you know, these sprinters, They'll spend hours and hours and hours and hours practicing just one step, right? Just one step out of the starting block. And every muscle, every part of the body just moves exactly like it's supposed to move so that there is absolutely no wasted energy. And that's how they become winners. And the human body is an amazing, amazing thing, especially when it's been trained like that. and it's doing, you know, what God created it to do, and then all of that training comes together. It's amazing to watch these men and women that are 100-meter sprinters, and then you can just take that to all kinds of different sports and all kinds of different things that people can do. It's amazing. And so I would say the body of Christ is amazing, right? The body of Christ, like when everybody's doing what we were made to do, and we're doing it together, we're not fighting with one another, but we're working with for the same purpose, and we're not just sitting on the sidelines, but all the parts of the body are functioning the way we're supposed to function. We're doing what God created us to do. Watch out, because the body of Christ will shake the community. Yeah? But the devil doesn't want us to know that. The devil wants you to feel like what you do is not important, that you can't make any difference. And I think about just last Sunday. Last Sunday was an amazing day. But church was great. We had a lot of fun. I mean, church was awesome last Sunday. But then after church, you know, we had the treat fest. And you think, well, treat fest, bunch of kids getting candy, big deal. And it was a big deal. It was a blast. You should have seen all the people from our neighborhood walking down to the church. It was our biggest one yet. I got to say, I was kind of thinking, it's a Sunday afternoon. I don't know if this is going to go so good. We had over 450 people here at Treat Fest. Yeah. It was awesome. Pastor Ben and his team did such a great job. The kids, it was just miles of smiles. It was so much fun. But it takes people. It took 63 volunteers to make that thing work. 63. Yeah. All working together, and it was amazing. By the way, if you don't know who Sue Greyson is, oh my goodness. Yeah. Sue Greyson, I'm telling you, if there is a Bethel Church Hall of Fame, she's like her, she's at the top. I mean, she's unbelievable. Susan is the assistant for our children's ministries and our youth ministries here at Bethel Church. She was in charge of all of that last Sunday. She's absolutely amazing. If you get a chance sometime, just thank Sue. Send her a card, because she's a rock star around here. She really is. She's always behind the scenes, but oh my goodness. And so when we work together as the body of Christ, amazing things will happen. There'll be all kinds of ministries that are going to be prospering and being blessed because we're functioning the way God created us to function. How many of you know our community needs Jesus? Come on. Our community needs Jesus, right? And here's the deal. Here's the deal. I would like to think that everybody in Medford would hear just what an incredible preacher Tim Olson is. And they would just love, I mean, they would just, like, they would wait in line for hours just to hear me preach. I'm just thinking it's probably not going to be the strategy we reach Medford with. It's not going to be it. It's because it's not going to be one person. It's not going to be one thing. It's going to be us as the body of Christ making a difference in our community. Amen? And God using each and every one of us. Some of you, I believe, you're in a fight right now, like Timothy was. You're in a fight. And so I want to pray for you, but I want to close this with this verse, and then we're going to pray. Worship team, come on up. John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus told us this very early on, that the thief's purpose, that is the devil, his purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Some of you, you're in a fight right now, and the devil wants to put out your fire. He wants to quench the fire that God has placed in your heart. He wants to rob you of what God has for you. And so I'm here to ask you this morning, don't let that happen. Don't let it happen. Don't let the devil rob you of what God has given you. Can you say amen to that? Don't let the enemy rob you of what God has given you. He's given you so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads with me? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I want to pray for you this morning. I want to start just right here. How many of you this morning would just say, Pastor Tim, I believe that there is a fire, there's a flame in my life that has been kind of going dormant. And it's just been sitting there. And I've been discouraged. I've been disappointed. I've just been holding back. And I have found myself at a standstill. And I've kind of shut down my heart. And I've kind of self-isolated. Maybe not physically, but I've self-isolated emotionally and relationally. And I've let the enemy just kind of shut me down. I want to pray for you today. We're going to pray a release today. A release of the giftedness of God in your life. That nothing is going to hold you back. So if that's you today, would you just raise your hand up? Raise your hand up. I know I've been shut down. And I need a reawakening in my life. A reawakening in my spirit. Yeah, lots of you, lots of you. Thanks for being honest. Thanks for being honest. Wow. Wow. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. Now I want to ask a second question. You can put your hands down. Are you here this morning and just not only have you just been shut down in terms of your gifting, but you know for you, you've been kind of shut down just in your relationship with Jesus. Like it, before the gifting part even happens, like there needs to be a reawakening in your own walk with Jesus. Like you found yourself just drifting away. And today is your day to come back to the Lord. And the reawakening for you is reawakening to your own spiritual condition. And you just know this morning, my heart's not where it needs to be right now. It's just not. My heart is not right with God. And today you want to get your heart right with God. That's the starting point. If that's you today, would you raise your hand this morning? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, thank you. I want to lead you in a prayer right now. Would you pray along with me? Father God, everybody together, Father God, I need you to do something in my heart today. I confess that I've drifted away from you. Jesus, I believe you love me still. I believe you died on a cross for my sins, and I believe you've risen from the dead. Lord, come into my life again. I'm coming back to you. I'm coming back to you, God. I'm coming back to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I praise you today. Praise you. And now, Father, for every person who raised their hand, just saying that flame, that fire, that gifting has kind of gone to embers. God, I pray that this morning, even now, by the time they leave this place, God, it's going to be fanned into flame again. Fanned into flame again, God. They're going to be open to how you want to use them, God. They're going to be open to reaching out again to other people, to loving others with the love of Jesus, to serving others. We come against that spirit of discouragement in Jesus' name. We come against a spirit of fear in Jesus' name. We come against that disappointment in Jesus' name. God, I pray that this morning you will set our hearts free, God. Set our hearts free where the enemy is trying to rob us, where the enemy is trying to shut us down. God, in the name of Jesus, we declare where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. God, we pray today, Lord, that you will unleash our hearts, God. Unleash that passion, God, that you've placed in our hearts. And let nothing hold us back, God, from all that you have for us, God. And all the ways you want to use us to make a difference for you, God. Hallelujah. 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 We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a shout of praise in this place. Let's just praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your name, O God. Praise your name, O Lord.